Afternoon. If you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 5, that's where we'll be reading from first thing. Not first thing, but eventually we'll start our lesson tonight there. And tonight what I'm going to be talking about, what I want us all to study together, is Peter. Some excerpts from the life of the Apostle Peter. And there is a myriad of different lessons we could take just from this one person in the Bible. But so often I think we look at Peter and we're very quick to focus on his failures. And he has many. He's human, just like all of us, and the scriptures are replete with examples of things Peter probably could have done a lot better. And we are going to take a look at some of those tonight. But what I want us to focus on, and what I really want us to think about in our own lives, is Peter's zeal for Christ. The passion that Peter has for Christ Jesus and for His Word. Because I think that if we look and learn from different things in Peter's life, we can learn the type of zeal and passion we are to have for Christ and where that should lead us and where it should not lead us to. And I think the first thing I want us to bring out is that God wants us to have passion for Him. He wants us to be zealous for Him and His Word. And to some, I mean, this might be like a duh kind of statement, right? Obviously, God wants that. But I think it's really important to bring out today. Because unfortunately, I think we can tend to cheapen or outright dismiss the idea of emotion in our faith, right? We live in a world which is characterized by people going after their emotions constantly. And I think in the church and as Christians, when somebody starts a statement with, I feel this way, or God makes me feel this way, we can, oh, here we go again. We roll our eyes. And we tend to dismiss emotion in the church and in our faith sometimes. But what we see in the character of Peter is a man who was deeply filled with emotion and passion for Christ. Let's begin our reading in Luke chapter 5, and we'll just start in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who are with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. From the very beginning of Peter's relationship with Christ, we see this great zeal he exemplifies for him. In an instant, after seeing the character and quality of Christ, he leaves everything to follow him. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. That's the next thing I want us to consider in the life of Peter. It's a verse, passage we all know very well. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. This is a little later. Peter has been a disciple for a little while. He's traveled with Jesus and the other disciples. And in verse 13, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What a proclamation made by Peter. Instantly when asked by Christ, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's such an amazing reply, "On this rock I will build my church." On your proclamation, Peter, on faith like yours will be the foundation for my church. And that's the type of faith that Jesus commends in Peter and that He commends and wants us to have. A faith filled with passion for Christ. A faith filled with such love and zeal for our Lord that we cannot help but proclaim Him, and we cannot contain our love for Him. And when we get into this mindset of dismissing emotion from our faith, dismissing the way God can make people feel and should make us feel, we deny something that is given to us by God that we are expected to have in our lives. If we turn to Galatians chapter 5, the very popular fruit of the Spirit verse, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." These are the fruit. This is the fruit we are to bear if we are in step with the Spirit. When we love and follow God, we are to exemplify love, joy, peace, rightful emotions which should be abundantly flowing from us as Christians, because we've sacrificed the passions of the flesh, and now we are to have these passions for our God. And as we leave this point, I just want to finally read Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Skipped over it. "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." We need to have zeal like Peter had. We need to have passion for Christ. And here we also need to take some more lessons from Peter. Because we do need something to temper that zeal. We need to have passion for Christ, but it needs to be tempered with understanding. And that's the second thing I want us to focus on from Peter's life. Because like I just stated, we need to feel love and passion and joy. But that can't be our focus in our walk with Christ. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16, where we just read Peter's famous proclamation. In that very same chapter, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, "From that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This should never happen to you.' But He turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' And Jesus told His disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Matthew 16 can be such a jarring account to read through in one go. Because on one hand, we have Christ telling Peter, "On this rock I'm going to build my church." And a couple verses down, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." So what happened here between these two accounts? What is the difference? Because we see Peter being very passionate in both accounts. We see him acting upon his zeal. But I think what we see here is that in spite of Peter being well-meaning, Peter loses his focus across these two accounts. See, in the first account, Peter is focused on Christ and he is filled with his passion for that and he proclaims Christ as God. But in this account, he's only focused on his own emotions. He's only focused on his passions. And he's saying, God, no, I don't want that. Don't let that happen, Christ. And this is the second thing that I want us to consider. And while we are to be passionate for Christ, this is the flip side of the first point. And instead of having an emotionless faith, we can't have a faith focused solely on emotion. We can't have a faith that is only focused on pursuing, well, the worship aspects that make me feel good. We can't have a faith built upon what I want to do to serve God, no matter how well-meaning that may be. Because that's no longer being focused on God. Doesn't matter how well-meaning you are. If you're focused only on your passions, then we see why Jesus says what He does in verses 23 and 24. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You're not focused on me right now, Peter. You're focused on how you feel. Our passion and zeal should be symptoms of a focused faith and not the focus of our faith itself. Because when our passion and our focus align properly, we have a beautiful thing in Christ. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll read verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. When we have a focused, passion-filled faith that is focused on God, we are filled with this joy and glory, and that is how we obtain the salvation of our souls. But when we focus on ourselves, when we focus on what we think we should do, what we think is the best way to serve God, well, then we start to drift like Peter. And I think the great thing about a focused faith, about focused passion in Christ, is that it removes doubt from our lives. Because we see what happens when passion is unfocused in the life of Peter. In Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, just a couple pages prior to what we read, have already read. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately He made the disciples, that is Jesus, get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." He said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." You see, Jesus routinely asks us to do the impossible. "Come out to Me on the water, Peter. Put all of your trust in Me. Live a sinless life. We've been studying grace in our class, and I think we brought out several times, we can't. Jesus has asked us to do things that on a surface-based level are impossible. No matter how much passion you may have, how hard you may try, you can't do these things. No matter how much Peter tried, he couldn't just walk on the water by himself. But because he had the faith and the zeal to follow Christ's command, he started to walk on the water. But then we see that he lacked the focus to make it all the way to Christ. The wind is really strong. Those are some really choppy waves, Jesus. I'm scared. And that's when Peter started to sink. He became afraid, and rightly so. Because when he was thinking about how he was going to handle it himself, what am I going to do about this situation? The answer is nothing. You're going to sink, Peter. You're going to die. Because by yourself, it's impossible. The wind is too strong. The waves are too big. Ignoring the fact he was standing on water. He had the zeal to jump out the boat. But he wasn't focused on Christ. He was focused on how he felt. On how scary the situation seemed to him. And if our sole compass in life is how we feel about situations, how we're going to deal with those situations, then we're going to sink every single time. We're going to feel scared, and we're going to feel doubtful. But the beautiful thing is that when we are focused on Christ, all of these things are possible. You can walk on the water, Peter. You can have complete and utter trust in me. You can live a sinless life. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13. Verse 13 is where we will start. And I really love, after considering all the things we know about Peter, and again, I know there are so many examples and things Peter has said and done that we could go to. I've only gone through a few of them tonight. But I always think it's so incredible to read 1 and 2 Peter in light of what we know about him in the Gospels. Because we see his failings. We see these moments where he loses focus on Christ and he is ruled by his emotions. And then we read 1 Peter and 2 Peter and it's just incredible. Let's start in verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, and being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with the perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are made believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And the Word is the good news that was preached to you. Isn't that incredible to see the man who didn't believe it was possible to walk on the water to now be saying something as impossible sounding as be holy? How can Peter do that? How can he sink in the water thinking it's not possible and then tell us, well, be holy? It's because he has a focused passion on Christ, and he realizes that it's possible. You can be holy because God is holy. And that's your focus. And that focus should fill you with joy and love to such an extent that you proclaim it to everyone you meet and everywhere you go. But you can't do it without Christ. And you can't do it if you're only focused on feeling joy and love and peace. Have passion like Peter, and have focus like Peter had later in his life, but eventually had. That's my message to you tonight, and that's what I want us to consider this afternoon as we go throughout our lives. Don't lose your passion for Christ. Because if you lose that joy, that passion, and that love, then you're not following Him the way you should be. And don't let that desire to feel happy, to feel good, overrule the fact that your focus has to be on His Word and abiding in it. Have a focused passion in Christ and realize that everything is possible through Him. If you need help with this tonight, if you need to reignite the passion for Christ in your heart, or if you need to realign your focus on Him, or maybe even be saved and baptized into His family, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.